Hare Krishna. Nice to see all of you. And I thought that the weather is not so positive, but it is rather depressive. So I want to speak something positive, which is something about Krishna consciousness. We have time till I was told to 4:30, so I'll finish a little bit earlier. If someone has any questions or comments, there is space for a discussion, or I will try to answer your questions if you have some. And yeah, I'll try to speak something. Is there someone who is for the first time here? Yeah? Okay. I know I'm speaking to the audience, which is quite a variety, right? There are some who are serious practitioners for several years, there are some who are fairly new, and there are some which are brand new. So to say something which will be satisfying for everybody, it's practically impossible to ask. But Krishna can do this, Krishna can satisfy everybody, so I'll try to please him and serve him this way, so maybe he will empower me and I will do the same job. I was thinking I will read something from Bhagavad Gita, 2nd chapter, 249. It's a not long purport, so we can read a little bit of the purport and we can then discuss a little bit and I'll try to say something on it. And let's see. Durena evaram karma buddhi yoga dananjaya buddhau sharanam man vichha kriparah pavahetavaha. Translation. O Dananjaya, keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service, and in that consciousness surrender unto the Lord. Those who want to enjoy the fruits of their work are misers. Purport. One who has actually come to understand one's constitutional position as an eternal servitor of the Lord gives up all engagement save working in Krishna consciousness. As already explained, Buddha Yoga means transcendental loving service to the Lord. Such devotional service is the right course of action for the living entity. Only misers desire to enjoy the fruit of their own work just to be further entangled in material bondage. Except for work in Krishna consciousness, all activities are abominable because they continually bind the worker to the cycle of birth and death. Interesting, right? So, because usually people in this world think that you do something good, you will be rewarded, right? You will get something in return, something which will help you in the life, something which will improve your life. And then if you do something bad, then you will get something which will maybe degrade your life. But here Bhagavad Gita says that good or bad, both of them will degrade you. Because that means you will have to stay in material existence. Even if you, the comparison is given like you have a prison, right? So, have you been ever to prison, someone? I mean, not not maybe as an inmate, right? But as a convict, but visiting maybe someone or doing some program, preaching programs, right? Yeah, okay. I was one time actually scheduled to go to prison for being programmed there. And anyway, there was some Krishna's intervention, didn't happen. But I heard other devotees. So there are different grades in the prison, right? You have like heavy cases like murderers and serial killers, you know, and then you have maybe thieves and then the people who are cheating, you know, like that. So there are different grades, so they are not all the same. So those who are, like, let's say this first grade, which they maybe committed some not that serious crime, they maybe have little slightly better conditions in that prison. So they don't have to, they are not so restricted in some ways. They maybe even can go home visit their family during maybe once a month or for some holidays, like that, right? Is it like that? Yeah? I think so. Yeah. No, it is like that. And some which are more serious cases, they don't get that much freedom, right? Even in the prison.
So it can appear that those who are didn't commit such a serious crime, their life is not that bad in a prison, right? Because they can afford many more things comparing those who are committing more serious crimes. So it is the same for us in the material world. It's like a prison. Right? And then some people, they can object, right? Oh, wait a second, I'm free. Right? I can do whatever I want. Oh, that's questionable. First thing, physically, we definitely cannot do what we want. Right? Physically, we are so limited. Right? Okay, if someone says I can do whatever you want, whatever I want, so I guess, okay, then don't go for a toilet for a week. Let's see what happened then. Right? So that's a physical condition. We have to breathe every, second or something like that. So many conditions. And say, okay, I can think whatever I want. Well, that's also not that easy, right? First thing, that we are born in a family and they implement certain way of a lifestyle in us. So what we think later on is coming from that background. And then I have a small daughter, she's like 2 years, and then she loves to watch the cartoons on a smartphone or something like that, on YouTube, these baby kids cartoons, So then she's already getting some impressions from that, right? And then you go to school and you watch TV and you meet the friends, so you take all different opinions, you will shake it with your intelligence, then you call it that you are free to think. Well, it's already conditioned by so many different sources. So even this is not complete freedom, right? I know. Let's say, okay, I can do whatever I want in this world. I can travel wherever I want. This is not the truth. Right? You want to go somewhere? Abhinandan, you have been recently in Canada or somewhere, right? How is it? Do we need visa for there? ESTA or something like that, right? So you need to do some procedure. You cannot just come there, right? So many restrictions in this world. So it's a prison. Maybe not that, restricted prison, but it's a prison. We are limited by so many things, and even this body is limiting us at the end. It has some just a period. It will not last that long, right? I don't know, 50, 60, 70, 80. That's it, right? So we have to go somewhere else. So, not good, not bad activities in this world actually are, those good are not that good as they look like, because they still cause the bondage in this world. One should therefore never desire to be the cause of war. Everything should be done in Krishna consciousness for the satisfaction of Krishna. Misers do not know how to utilize the assets of riches which they acquire by good fortune or by hard labor. One should spend all energies working in Krishna consciousness, and that will make one's life successful. Like misers, unfortunate persons do not employ their human energy in the service of the Lord. Who had the chance to read Bhagavad Gita, the whole thing? I would expect much more hands, actually. Not yet, okay. Heading there? Yeah? And did you have chance to read it more times? Several times maybe, and like that? So, you can observe that Arjuna's idea of spiritual life was not that great, right, in the beginning. When we come for the first time, when we approach spiritual life, or when we meet someone who is approaching spiritual life, what is their general idea of a spiritual life? Service, yes?
Some self-satisfied, smiling person who is in equilibrium and loves the whole world and is like beyond all.
So equanimity, right? Yeah. Or balance, right?
Happiness.
Happiness, yeah. Something else?
Bliss.
Yeah, so people coming with those ideas to spiritual life, but their general understanding how to achieve all these things is to refuse, is it? Is to give up. Give up this material world, because that is bad. That gives me troubles. and then get something which will not give me trouble. This is, like, for example, take Buddhism. The core concept of Buddhism means that you suffer because you are attached, because you do some activities. So if you withdraw, you will stop it. There will be no more suffering, right? There's a general idea. Impersonalism, impersonalistic path, is the same idea, right? The material world is wrong. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithyam, right? Brahman is real. This material universe is unreal. It's not really existing. That's their idea, right? So that means we have to refuse it in order to become self-realized, in order to become spiritually aware of ourselves. I have to refuse everything what is material. Isn't it true? Because this doesn't go together. Material and spiritual doesn't go together, right? So the Arjuna came with the same idea in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, right? He said to Krishna, Krishna, I will not fight because this causes sinful reactions, you know, and better, I will give up. I don't need even kingdom. Why are we fighting for a kingdom? I can live as a beggar. I give up everything. Right? So that was his idea of spiritual life. And Krishna tells him, no, this is not the right idea. And Krishna from different angles defeats Arjuna's arguments. Right? Arjuna says, okay, I will not fight because as a kshatriya, right? I shouldn't fight. I shouldn't face the family members, right? And then Krishna says, well, as a kshatriya, actually, you should fight, because if you don't fight, it will incur the sinful reaction, because this is your duty as a kshatriya, right? And then Arjuna says, okay, I want to give up everything, right? And Krishna is telling to Arjuna that use your intelligence. So Arjuna is thinking, he's saying him in this, actually in this sloka, it's actually, here he said, Buddhi Yoga. Prabhupada is translating it as a devotional service. But Krishna says, Buddhi Yoga, that means, use your intelligence, execute yoga with the intelligence. So then, Arjuna thinks, aha, that means, intelligence means something like a inertia, stop activities, just meditate, right? Something like that. So he thinks, okay, so I like that because I don't have to fight, right? But Krishna says, no, actually, you do activities, but you do it for me. In this, because who is Krishna, right? Krishna is Hari Govinda, Hari Purusha, right? He is the supreme absolute truth. He's the spirit. He's supreme spirit, right? So Krishna is spiritual. So if you connect yourself with Krishna, you'll become spiritual also. It's actually a very simple process, right? So how to do that? Okay, we sing holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And because Krishna and Krishna, his name, they are non-different, so because we are in touch with Krishna in this way, we'll become also slowly spiritual. Right? So Arjuna was thinking that I have to refuse everything, but Krishna is telling him, no, you actually accept everything. And you have to understand how is it connected with me. Rupa Goswami is, those who are practicing, they know, he's one of our acharya, he's a great teacher. And he wrote a book which is called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion. It's very nice, it's like a guide for the devotees, manual. And he says there are two shlokas. I will just quote this Sanskrit and then I will explain what they mean. Anasaktasya vishayam yat haram vipanjataha nirbandha krishna sambandhe utta vairagya muchate prapanchikataya buddha hari sambandhe vastunaha muchavik parityago vairagyam phalgukatyate. These two shlokas, they explain actually in the core what is the consciousness of a devotee. They explain that the one who sees how is everything in this world connected with Krishna, and he accepts those things and use them in the service of Krishna, he is actually properly situated in renunciation. So how is that? You are accepting and renouncing at the same time? And then he says, the next shloka says that the one actually who refuses everything, not knowing how is it connected with Krishna, he is not properly situated in renunciation. He is using term falgu vairagya, means false renunciation. He is renouncing. But if you take it to the bottom, what do we actually own to renounce it in the first place? Right? We born, We carry a few things in our life. When we die, we cannot carry anything anymore. Even this body will stay here. Right? That's the difference between the body and the soul, right? The body is here, but the soul goes somewhere else. So, how the idea to renounce came actually in the picture? If we don't own anything, how we can renounce anything? Right? Like, for example, Abhinandar, what car do you drive?
Citroën.
Huh?
Citroën.
Citroën. Which model?
C4.
C4, okay, nice car. I am renouncing Abhinandar's C4 Citroën. It doesn't matter anything, right? Because I'm not owing it. How I can renounce it? Right? In my mind, vimukta manina, I can try to renounce it. I can try to renounce things artificially. Right? But actually, if I don't owe it, that is no question of renouncing it either. So, if we actually start to understand who we really are, right? What is it? Krishna Ranitya Das. It means that we are eternal servant of Krishna. Then we understand who is Krishna, and we also understand what is this material world. Well, the material is just the concept. In its core, everything is spiritual, because it is Krishna's energy, right? There is nothing which Maya Dakshina Prakritik Suyate Sacharacharam Hetunana Kanteya Jagat Viparivartate. Krishna says, I am the source of everything. Right? Even spiritual, even material worlds, they come from me. So, even material things, which, because when we perceive it, for example, we think, okay, this is the microphone, this is some wooden chair here, right, a wooden table, but what is it made from, right? It is made from the molecules, and these are the clusters of the atoms, right? And the atoms is Krishna's energy, right? It says, paramano charam tarastam, right? Krishna says that, Brahma says that Krishna is... He is a Paramatma, and he is in every atom. Srila Prabhupada is explaining that Krishna is so small that he is running in that atom. He is having like a playground field. It's so huge for him there. So he can be that small. Right? Krishna is the Anu and Vibhu at the same time. He's the smallest and the greatest also. We are just the Anu. We are just the small one. Right? Although some people they tend to think, including me, right? That's we tend to think that we are great, right? We are big. But it's not that great, as usual. So Krishna is, he's everything. He's in every atom, he's everywhere. So if we understand that, then whatever we do in the life, we connect it with Krishna. Right? So now, sometimes we can think, okay, when I'm sitting here in the temple, I'm listening Krishna Katha, I'm listening lecture about philosophy, I'm listening lecture about Bhakti Yoga, I'm doing Bhakti Yoga, right? And then, what happened when you go out of the door? Is it still Bhakti Yoga? What do you think? Okay, the program is over, you go out of the door. Is it still Bhakti Yoga? Are you still doing spiritual life? It should be. Or let's say, you wake up in the morning, and then you brush your teeth, right? Is that a devotional service? Are we serving the Supreme Lord? Are we serving the Supreme Cause?
Yeah, it should be.
If you behave the same like in the temple room, then it is. But if you behave otherwise, it's not.
What do you mean, if you behave same as the temple room?
I don't know. Being humble and stuff like that.
So, it means you have to be humble during brushing your teeth, or?
What I mean is that you behave with the same, that you're not playing here like a pure devotee, and outside you're like a different picture.
So it's actually it's about the consciousness, what do you want to say?
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
If you are nurturing the body for the attempt to be in better position,
yes! Whatever we do, right? What about if you go to job? So even if you go to job, you earning money, right? It's still Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is not from, I don't know, 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. and then from 5 p.m. till 8 p.m. or something like that. No. Bhakti yoga is a 24-hour thing. It's not that when you come to temple, then here you can do bhakti yoga. When you come out of the temple, you cannot do bhakti yoga. No, everything is. It's about the consciousness. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita in 18th chapter. Because Arjuna is he's asking, what is the difference between the renunciation and between sannyas and tyaga? That means between accepting renounced order of life and between renouncing things, right? And Krishna says, actually, there is no difference. Because it's about the consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada in purport explains that actually the one who renounces everything for the pleasure of Krishna, that he is using everything, whatever he has, in the service of Krishna, that means he's not using it for his own sense gratification, for his own pleasures, you can say. Then he's properly situated in renunciation, and he's actually sannyasi. Sannyas is not a question of external dress, right? It's a question of a consciousness. Right? So the same Bhakti Yoga, that what Arjuna was confused. He was thinking that I have to renounce everything. And then he was thinking later on, you read in the sixth chapter, then he was thinking, okay, because Krishna is speaking about yoga, I should do yoga, right? Then Krishna, you can observe how Krishna is very, very gentle with guiding the Arjuna. We can take this as a inspiration when we speak with someone who is maybe new, right? Because Arjuna says so many proposals. No, this should be like that. The life should be like this. I should renounce and I should live like this. And Krishna, he takes all Arjuna's ideas, and then he says, okay, let's break it down and to see what do you actually mean by that, right? So, for example, he says about yoga. Arjuna says, I should do yoga. Krishna says, okay, so what is yoga? Can you explain it, right? So Arjuna says, okay, then I don't know exactly about it. Tell me. So Krishna explained to him, okay, if you do yoga, you have to live like this, you know, in the celibacy, in a secluded place, you know, sitting like this, very straight, without fear, you know, all these conditions, you know. And Arjuna, when he hears all these things, says like, wow, that's like impractical, you know, it's like, controlling wind is more easier to control the mind, right? And Krishna says, well, actually, yoginamapi sarvesham madgatenantaratmana shradavanam bhajatayamam samayuktatam mataha. The one who thinks of me all the time, he serves me with love and devotion. He's actually, Krishna says, that's my opinion. I consider him as the highest yogi, right? So the goal of yoga is to think of Krishna. And if you achieve it by any other means than sitting in the forest and meditate, that's considered the highest yoga. So, Bhakti Yoga is based on that principle. If we are able to think of Krishna in any life situation, that's Bhakti Yoga. Right? And that type of consciousness will generate the successful result, which will be transferring from this material existence to the spiritual existence. Yam yam, yam yam bhavi smaram bhavam te janti ate klevaram tam tam evaitis kanteya sadat bhava bhavita ha. Whatever you will think at the time of the death, that will be your next destination, right? And then yanti deva vrata devam pitrin yanti pitrin vata ha bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti matajana api mam. And Krishna says that if you think or worship the demigods, you will go there. If you worship the ancestors, you'll be living with them. If you worship ghosts and spirits, you will end up there. And Krishna says, if you worship me, you will live with me. Right. There is so many other proofs where Krishna is referring to that if you think of Krishna, especially at the time of the death, but it's not that easy to think of the death during the time of the death. Right? Therefore we are training, therefore we are practicing now. Right? We are training to think of Krishna during the difficult moments. Right? You can imagine, did some of you had maybe like a toothache sometimes, serious toothache? Or better one, the kidney stone. everybody has his own story, right? So how was it to think of something specific at that moment for you? Usually we are sorting it out with the painkillers, right? We take painkiller that this will help us to think like that. But it's explained that the time of the death is that complicated situation and that difficult. So explain it in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the mind, you can observe your mind now, how the thoughts are flowing. You know, it's kind of, you can manage it, right? Usually, a little bit, more or less, right? And some people can't. That means crazy, right? Because the intelligence is not working. The mind is like a, I don't know, the source, and the intelligence is sorting it out, right? So usually we can manage kind of okay. Could be better, but usually we can do. But it is explained that at the time of the death, the mind is like a river during the rainy season. And if you live maybe near the river, which is maybe not that big, but if there is like a lot of rain, like recently there was quite a lot of rain, so some rivers, even in Slovenia, they raced, right? And it was creating troubles for other people. So to control the river after rainy season or after big rain, it's very difficult. And it's compared to the mind at the time of the death, it's like this. It's like a river during the flooding season. That means it's very powerful and it's flowing very fast. That means that the thoughts are just... And you cannot, at the time, you cannot by your intelligence control it. That's not anymore possible. So at the time, all life practice, thinking of Krishna, comes into picture. Krishna says that even if my devotee will not remember me, that's okay. I'll remember him. No problem. But of course, we have to endeavor for it. If you want to think of Krishna, or at least if you want that Krishna will think of us, we have to do something in our life that will cause that Krishna will be actually inclined to think of. Of course, Krishna think of us all the time about all living entities, right? But particularly, right? Like, for example, you can give example that usually, I mean, men also, but usually ladies, they like children by nature. So when some child comes, they are affectionate. But when their own child comes, it's more, right? It increases. So with Krishna is like that. We are like Krishna's children, so Krishna tends to think about us a little more, in a more serious way, right? So then, of course, if some difficulty comes, Krishna will reciprocate with that, and the biggest difficulty for this, for us, for conditioned jiva, is time of the death, which we don't know when it will come and it will happen. So the best preparation is to think of Krishna, do all activities during our day for Krishna, and depend also on Krishna, right? Don't use, how it is says here, don't be miser, right? The miser means that you are using things for your own benefit, not for Krishna, right? And then in this way we will actually come to the point that we will be able to think of Krishna all the time. Hare Krishna. Is there any question or comment? If not, you can chant a little more Hare Krishna. Abhinandan Prabhu.
Since we didn't see you for a long time, can you have 4 minutes time maybe? You can tell us.
Yeah, maybe you can tell us how you came to Krishna consciousness.
How we can. I think I got from my French Srila Prabhupada book. Today, now is the Srila Prabhupada marathon. I don't know if you heard about that. It's a thing when we try to distribute Srila Prabhupada books, and that's actually the best way how we can get to know about Krishna, right? We read Srila Prabhupada books, and that's happened to me. I was reading different things, and one friend of mine, his parents, they bought a book for him, and I got a book also from him. So you are interested. I remember I liked the philosophy. I didn't like those rules and regulations though. Because when I finished, and at the end there was this, I don't know if it is here, but there was this like make your home a temple or something like that, you know. And then there was written those, you know, if you eat, that you offer the food, and you follow the four regulative principles. So when I was thinking, okay, that part I don't like. So I don't think this path is for me. I was thinking like that. The philosophy is okay, but that's regulation. Life is not meant for being so regulated. But that's the illusion, actually. One time I visited my cousin, and she had a car accident, and she was with her at that time boyfriend in a hospital. They had some slight injuries, not heavy, like a broken leg, broken hand, something like that. And so I spoke to them a little bit. They were kind of a little open-minded, because during that accident in that opposite car, I think two or three people died. So they saw it, and also they were quite shocked, or you can say shocked, right? And then so they were kind of open-minded. They wanted to listen some philosophy. So I talked to them, and that boyfriend of my cousin. During the discussion, he said, "Can we move to another room? Because I need to smoke. Right? Because in hospital we have these designated areas where you can smoke." And so I told him, "Right, that's the illusion that we think we are free, right? Because, like, for example, you think you are free to smoke, but actually you have to smoke. You cannot. You don't have now option, right? Because I mean, you can choose not to, but you will suffer." You will go through difficulty, right, if you don't do. And sometimes people are asking, what you Hare Krishna, what you cannot do, right? That's typical. I'm always saying, well, we don't want to do what you have to do. Right, so it's a free choice. Right, so you're free. If you control your mind, your senses, if you follow process of yoga, that means to control your mind and senses, then you will become actually free. You become free through regulation. That's the way. Right? You cannot become free by unregulated lifestyle. It's not possible. If we live unregulated lifestyle, we will be controlled by our mind, by our senses. So it's rather opposite. It's working like that. Yeah. So my idea was wrong. Right? I was thinking that I was reading this Timothy Leary, you know. So I was thinking, because he's saying that the human body is meant for, I think, three things. Yeah, three things. Sex life, LSD, and driving sports cars. So I was thinking, well, that's a proper idea, right, of the life. So, well, I got lucky. I got my idea corrected. Still working on it. It's getting better, day by day. Right? Anything else? Yes. You cannot say according to my accent. Czech Republic. I'm staying now for approximately 2 years, maybe 2-3 more weeks, a month. I move somewhere warmer. Most likely. Middle European winters are not really my thing. Yeah, something else? Okay. Yeah, the body comes from Czech. For now. 40 years, 43. Let's see, next. Okay, shall we finish? Thank you very much. Shabrupa Raki. Yeah.